Houston, Texas. This is Clear to Close with Angela and Ivan.
Welcome back to Clear to Close podcast. This is your host, Angela Benevich, with...
Hey there, Ivan Benevich.
Today we have a very, very special guest. We're so honored to have you on.
Thank you.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Veronica Martinez, native Houstonian. What else do you want to know?
She's like, I'm just Veronica Martinez. What do you know? Okay, but who is Veronica Martinez?
Oh, what hat am I wearing today?
Which one do you want to put on first?
Oh my gosh, which one do you want to know about?
I should have had
all her accomplishments and everything on this paper, but just because I know you from, you know, NHPO when you were helping out with
That's
NHPO.
Right.
So we met back then.
Oh my gosh.
And I was with Northwest NHPO, and I know you had taken the leadership thing, and so
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I totally forgot we had connected.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Way.
I thought about that the other day. Yeah.
Northside or Katie?
Well,
I was
Houston.
Part of like the Houston.
Yeah.
Oh, just
one.
But you
Houston
were just like volunteering, right?
Yeah.
Like your time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember you said you had been with the leadership. You did the leadership program that they had. Yeah.
You know, that actually kind of catapulted me into really what I feel like this is. Yeah. I'm finally in my career. I finally feel like an adult.
All right.
Sometimes.
How long did it take?
Oh, that only took like 10 years.
All right.
I'm still working on mine.
Well, she's a millennial.
Ah,
so.
Yes.
Yeah, she's still got a little
Not
time,
just
yeah.
a millennial, but I'm a Hispanial.
We were just talking about that. Hispanial. We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Hispanial. That's
okay.
Fantastic.
Hispanial. Yep.
But you're
also trademarked?
You're all right. You should get a
someone
trademark.
Someone within, I think, someone within NAREP, like, that's where I started hearing the term. I think it was Frank Fuentes with another mortgage company.
Ooh.
But yeah.
You're like,
I won't name drop.
Yeah. So it's a Hispanial?
Hispanial.
Hispanial. Well, we have to come up with something else. A Latinial. Right? A Latinial or something. Or
I
Latinia.
Like that too.
Yeah. Okay. So you were also... What part of NAREP? What do you do for NAREP?
Oh, for NAREP Houston.
NAREP.
It's okay.
I always
worry.
Say NAREP.
Don't worry.
It's like
you hear NAREP. So NAREP Houston, the Hispanic Real Estate Professionals. I am currently the chapter president, depending on when you air this. I may no longer be the chapter president. I'll be immediate past chair, which I'm excited about. You know, it's a labor of love. It's like a full-time job as well, but it's something that I absolutely love. So it's been a great, great journey, great ride. Wild ride too.
How did you get into it? How did you get into NAREP?
You know, I've actually been a part of NAREP for probably over 10 years now. Mm-hmm. When I was in the banking world, I was at Bank of America for a while. My manager at the time, she was in mortgage, and she was the chapter president, Cecilia Hernandez. I don't know if y'all know Cecilia. But Cecilia was the chapter president. She was like, hey, you know, I really need a volunteer. I want to get you more involved with the organization. I was like, yeah, that's fine. So I went to an event. I volunteered at the registration table. And now I like really respect people at the registration table. It's just crazy when when you're volunteering with registration. So started meeting folks there within NAREP. Mm-hmm. And, 10 years later, here I am, chapter president. I mean, for most folks, it doesn't take that long, but for me, I was kind of in and out of the organization, but it's been great. Great people.
So what did you do in between? Because I know you were working, you're a loan officer now.
Yeah.
But you were doing, what were you doing before you were a loan officer?
So I was the loan officer. This is kind of like my second go around. And I feel like I'm like really, really more serious about it being my career now. The first time around, I was a loan officer for about 10 years. I was at different banks. I took a little bit of a break. I was still in the industry. Mm-hmm. I took about a 3-year break doing a lot of just fun activities. I was recruiting, which is really, really hard. You know, it's exciting. It's hard. It's you guys are, know what that looks like.
Yes.
Doing my favorite part. I was like onboarding, training, hiring, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But my favorite part about that kind of that break or during that time frame was I was doing business development for a mortgage company, but I was more specifically doing multicultural business development. So I would oversee basically like I helped them launch their multicultural platform to help them hire more Hispanic, more diverse loan officers and try to bring them into the business. So Yeah, so I've actually officially been back into lending for a year now, and I love it. Thank you. This industry is hard, but you know, you got to pick your heart, right?
It is hard.
What is it that we love within the industry and stick to it?
It is hard, but there's a lot more harder things out there. Well, and you know, you can make it the way you want to make it. You know, it's almost like you're an entrepreneur in your business, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I didn't see myself as an entrepreneur until a couple of years ago when I finally, it was introduced to me. And I finally like opened my eyes. And when it, I went through what's called, a mentor of mine told me, she's like, you're going through a paradigm shift. She said, you are going from this being your job to now being your career. And that was really eye-opening for me. But now it's not just, now mortgage and real estate, it's not just a career, it's a way of life. It's what I live, what we live and breathe every day. And it's just us, right? It's part of our DNA. It's not going away.
Sure. I mean, it's way different than if you were, you know, a teacher or a software analyst. Like when time's up and your job is done, you go home and, you know, probably don't have to spend a lot of, well, teacher's a bad example. You're probably working on lesson lesson plans and grading papers, but
on the weekends, on
other things where when the time's up and your job is done, it's done. But as you know, certainly we do. You know, you get those phone calls after five. You get that call on Saturday afternoon by your agent saying, hey, I just got a client and they have to be out in 3 weeks and their previous lender busts out. Can you save this deal? Yes. Well, you're working on Saturday afternoon now.
Yeah.
You
know,
at the park with your computer open on your phone Wi-Fi.
That was last weekend. I had a client reach out to me. I was literally walking into church and he reached out and he was like, hey, I need approval and pre-approval ASAP. And I was like, I got your message. I'm like literally walking into church. Do you want a selfie? but no, I was walking into church and I was like, look, I'll call you right after. And sure enough, I called right after service. And he was like, oh, you're so awesome for calling me on a Sunday. But you know, it's what we do. Yeah. At the end of the day, we're dealing with, you know, people, we're dealing with their shelter, regardless of what we are in the industry, what role we have, we're dealing with their shelter, which is a big deal.
Yes.
That is a big deal.
Yeah. And it's not like you're going to say, oh, I'm open all day. Like I never rest. I'm going to just be working all weekend long. It's if you need me, I'm here. But I also have to have another life too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You got to set boundaries.
Yeah. Absolutely. We do the same thing. I mean, I say, excuse me, I need to take this call. It's very important. You know, these people have been looking for a house forever. They found a perfect one. Let's get them the pre-approval letter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so understandable. But very rare that there's an actual real estate emergency because, you know, let's say you have a client and like the house they want to buy is burning down. Well, there's nothing we can do about it anyway. So, but yeah, those crucial moments like the pre-approval letter on the fly
or that or the call you get on Sunday night from one of your favorite agents and you take it and it ends up changing your month, right?
Yeah. We just talked about that too.
So, okay. So let's talk about Veronica Martinez, loan officer at what company are you at now?
So I'm a Guaranteed Rate. I just joined a couple of months ago after, you know, about 15 years in the industry. Actually, this May, I celebrate 15 years in the industry. So
congrats.
Thank you. That's so it'll be my quinceañera.
That's your quinceañera.
That's so cool. Is that a thing? A company quinceañera?
You know what? I'm in my sweet 16.
Look at that.
Are we going to make this a thing? Like a company quinceañera?
We're going to make you a quinceañera too.
Oh my gosh. I got a few more years to go.
Yeah, you do. So 15 years.
Yeah, this May will be 15 years. I've been, you know, kind of on the other side of mortgage at a bank. I was at a bank for a long, long time. When I got back into lending, I was at a bank. I thought it was going to be the best fit for me, you know, best fit for my business plan. And then I realized that I really wasn't at a place that was, you know, that it really fit kind of my clientele that I was working and servicing. And so, yeah, I finally just studied to get my license and I got it. I took the exam and the first time I passed, I was really proud. I was really excited.
Super.
And I had like tears in my eyes. I was walking out the door and sat in my car and I was like, I passed.
It's so stressful getting to that point though. The classes and everything.
Sure.
It's a process. I'm so glad I got that over with a while back, but I went from a bank too about 6 years ago and into just being a mortgage banker and I had to go through the classes and all that and then take the test and I was like, yes. Yeah. It was fun.
It was in its own way, you know. It felt like college, you know.
It did feel like six years ago. I felt like I studied the night before, just because I'm better at cramming all info into my head.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course you are. Like,
all right, I'm going to go take the test, and then I pass. So, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I walked into that test looking like I did when I was in college, going into, like, finals, just, like, makeup, hair probably, like, needed to be washed.
Sweats.
I mean, gross. Yes. Right.
A cup of coffee.
With a taco stain right here.
Like, yeah. I had to have one before I went in.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So, what are you passionate about in mortgage? You know that, you know, you talked about what your role is at, you know, NAREP, you know. Yeah. your role is to bring housing initiative to the community, right?
Absolutely. I believe in just home ownership for mm-hmm. all. It's been just a very natural kind of guidance into working with a lot of the Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. I'm part of quite a few Hispanic-based organizations, and I don't believe that, you know, one race or one ethnicity or anything is better than the other. It's just I have noticed it. People like to do business with folks that they connect with, and sometimes mm-hmm. that's on the cultural side. Mm-hmm. So I forgot your question.
Happens all the time.
What is it I'm passionate about?
Yes, right? In mortgage.
You know, it's just helping people. Everyone has a story, and everyone really, especially in this industry, like if you're still in this industry, even if you survived, you know, the housing recession and you're mm-hmm. still here, it's because like you're serving this higher purpose. I mean, yes, it's a very financially rewarding career, but at the end of the day, we're helping people mm-hmm. and we're helping, you know, people with the most basic need, which is shelter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of my story and what really drives me every day is that I lost my dad when I was in high school. It was a very short battle of cancer. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it until I became an adult, you know, several years later, that I was afforded the opportunity to grieve and to just really go through this huge life change mm-hmm. where, you know, the rug was just really pulled from underneath my feet. And now my whole world is different. I was able to grieve and stay in the same home that I was raised in. I mean, I was like, literally I was born, you know, at the hospital. As soon as I, you know, from the hospital went to that home, that mm-hmm. same home where I got to, I was raised, I grew up, mm-hmm. I have so many childhood memories, and it was like the tiniest house. You know, we all shared mm-hmm. like one bathroom. It was three beds, you know, mm-hmm. three bedrooms. And like, it was just like this one little common area where we had the living room, you know, our little kitchen table mm-hmm. and the tiniest kitchen ever, but it was home. And that's what I remembered. I remember those good feelings. So, I try to help create that sense of stability mm-hmm. and that safety that I felt as a child. And I try to give that to another family. Absolutely.
Yeah. We were just talking about that earlier about shelter. What is the number one thing that people need in this world to survive? Sure.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs: shelter, clothing, food, like that.
Yeah.
It is the most basic need, physiological need.
After all of those.
Sure.
Physiology needs.
I mean, you can't do good without any of those things you just mentioned. Like, you're in bad shape. Mm-hmm. You got no place to live, no one to be there, and you're hungry. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm tears coming down my eye. Well, you know, it's definitely having your own home and being able to create your own memories, and then going through a tragic thing like that. Such as losing a parent while you're young. I lost my grandfather when I was 21, and he raised me. Mm-hmm. But our home was similar to your home, and we had three bedrooms. We had two bathrooms, one and a half. But I just felt like I could just be there and just grieve as well, too.
Yeah.
So shelter's so
important.
Same for me. Same for you.
I lost my father when I was 20, and we had a three-bedroom, two-bath house. But, you know, the little bath was in parents' room, but we generally all used the one down
the
in the hall, yeah. Right?
Yeah, the same shower. That was so, us too. Hey, yeah. There's a, yeah, something
a
going
parallel
on here.
There.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we're in the business. That's why we're still in the business. The business is hard, and that's why we, you know, I feel like that's why I instantly connected with you guys. There was something about you that I just loved. Mm. And as time has progressed, I've gotten to know y'all more. I'm like, yeah, these guys are rock stars.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so nice. I was like, they're so, because, you know, we saw you at church and we've seen, you know, what you've done. I'm like, we really need to get to know them better.
Aww,
like,
seriously. I'm because, just me.
Well, you know, because they're like, oh, they go to church. Oh, they have kids. Those are so important to us as well. And not only just work, but just family and in God.
You know, absolutely. And that's that's the cool part about, you know, about the industry is that especially the culture that organizations like NAREP has built is this sense of what we call familia, which is family in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And that's the sense that I have that, you know, when we're kind of amongst each other is that feeling of familia. And we're here. And what I love is that you guys, and what I respect is that you guys as lenders, I didn't walk in the door thinking I was going to even be able to say, or like not expecting to even say the name of the mortgage company I'm at. You guys are at a competitor, but you have been kind enough to really extend that opportunity just to be open and to have a relationship, even though at the end of the day, we're competitors.
So. Yeah.
I mean, but in the lightest sense, I mean, how many people are in Houston in the metro area?
There's
like,
just
how many, no, six, just, seven, 8 million
people. There's so
people.
Many people, but then at the same thing, like, I just, you know, you're really great at what you do, right?
Thank you.
I've just went from what I've learned from you, and Ivan's good, and I'm good at certain things, but we all have different DNA when it comes to being loan officers.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be able to do something at guaranteed rate that we can't do at our company, but we can do a lot of great things. but it's just great to learn off of each other because, like, for instance, we do construction lending at Thrive Mortgage, and we're really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys might have something.
And that is definitely not my forte. So.
So, and we talked about that before. I emailed you about the construction lending. So it's just great to learn off of each other, and that's how we grow.
And support. Yeah. That's how iron sharpens iron.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so true. Okay, so we didn't touch on this, but you have your own podcast as well, too.
We do. Right, it's on. Called, if I may, it's called Legacy Reborn Podcast. And our logo is the phoenix, which for those of you who don't know what a phoenix is, it's a mythological bird, this creature that was born from ashes. And our podcast, we just try to spread a message of hope. I've been noticing lately, I've been trying to post more about positivity, just being positive. You know, we're all going through stuff.
Absolutely.
But those are ironic. It's crazy. Those are the ones that I get the most, like, DMs about, you know, Facebook messages about, man, Veronica, I really needed to hear it. And I'm like, you know, I really needed to hear that today. You just really just inspired me. You encouraged me. You motivated. And I'm just like, I just screenshotted something and I posted it, like, just trying to spread a positive message, be light in our community. And so that's what we're trying to do with the podcast is my fiance, Charles. Charles and I, we co-host, and we both have been through different stories. We both have been through, you know, loss of family members. We both have been through divorce. And even though we're millennials, you know, we're probably more seasoned millennials.
Is there a name for, like, the certain bracket? Like, let's say, I don't know, where does millennial start at? 1982 or 3?
It's 82.
Okay. So 1982 to, like, let's say 1996 or something. Is that, like, a special, like, different type of millennial?
Like a subsect of the whole category.
I think like the older millennials versus the younger. I think they're different.
I think we're more seasoned. We're more experienced millennials.
EXP millennials. Yeah, seriously. There's got to be a term for that. I think there is
we'll come up with something.
Yeah, we'll have to. Yes. Yeah, we'll have to come up with the.
Well, your podcast sounds great.
Thank you.
That you can reach out and speak to people. Like you said, that who may need to hear something that day. I mean, that's good work.
Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, during the podcast, I share, I feel like I have multiple birthdays in my life. I feel like I've been reborn multiple times in my life where something happened. I lost my dad and then I went through a divorce and and this happened and that happened. And I feel like each time I've been given this like second opportunity at life. So I feel like I've been reborn and I'm kind of rebuilding my legacy. And we're not just trying to leave a legacy, but we're trying to live a legacy as well. So that's what our podcast is all about.
That's great.
Yeah, just folks.
Do you guys have a commercial for that yet? Or that could be part of your commercial for your podcast. Yeah, that's awesome. We were just we went to a service last night at my church, and they were just talking about that, about rebuilding or recalculating or re-energizing, you know, different parts that of your life that you need to re-energize. So they're also called seasons. We all go through seasons. Absolutely. You know, you go through season one, I feel like it's from birth to like 20. Then you go through season two from 20 to 40. I mean, we're always changing. Things are always changing. Mm-hmm. Change is inevitable in our personal life and in the mortgage industry, right?
Absolutely.
So since so many things have changed in the mortgage industry since you started, what are the most important things to you as a lender? What do you like people to know about?
You know, I want people to know, whoever it is that I'm working with, you know, folks that are referring to me, someone, a client that I'm working with, is that I am looking out for their best interest. At the end of the day, I want them to be able to get into a home that they're going to, like the other day I was meeting with a teacher, and I'm sure you guys work with a lot of school teachers.
Oh, sure.
And I was looking at her budget, looking at her bank account, and I was like, look, you know, your income's going to go up just a little bit every year. Like your rent, you're paying this much, and you're going to jump into a mortgage that's a lot more than that, but your bank account balance doesn't reflect that you've been saving the difference. So I was giving her guidance and, you know, what to do to kind of start saving and be ready later this year to buy. But it wasn't just like, for some folks, they would have said, hey, come, you know, yes, you can get into a home right now. Mm-hmm. And that would have just been it. They would have gotten her all the way to closing. And then she's in her house and she's like, well, now what? Mm-hmm. But for me, I actually asked her to kind of slow down a bit. And I said, hey, like, let's look at your budget. How much do you, if you were to have a catastrophe, if you got into a car accident, something happened, like, what would you do?
Yeah.
She's like, oh my gosh, yeah. So I just want folks to know that, you know, I care about them and I've got their back. I want to make sure that not only do they get into their home, but that it's a sustainable homeownership opportunity for them.
And that comes also from the past roles that you've played, right?
Yeah.
Where you've educated
people
about that.
You know, that's actually how I started teaching classes was my loan officer, the loan officer I worked with back in 2005, they called a nonprofit organization called her and was like, hey, can you help, you know, teach a class this weekend? And she's like, no, I'm not available, but my assistant's available. I'm like, you're crazy. I don't know anything. She's like, you know, a whole lot more, you know, than they do. So. Mm-hmm. From there, I started teaching classes with these nonprofit agencies, and I just fell in love with it. So,
yeah, you can tell. You're smiling while you're talking about it. I love teaching. And we Ivan and I work along the same way. He was certified to become a teacher, right?
Well, you know, I had graduated. I had gotten my degree, and that year I actually took the XSET test for the state of Texas and passed it. I was an eyelash away from being a teacher.
Wow.
But I graduated mid-year in December, and I said, let me just see what happens this next few months, and then I'll decide during the summer if I go.
Yep.
And see what happened was, in those months, I very much by accident discovered the mortgage business, and here I am.
Oftentimes, that's how it happens.
Right.
we don't, you know, wake up. One of the questions you asked, or you're kind of talking about asking later, is what were you kind of thinking that you would be when you grow up?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really says, I want to be a loan officer when I grow up.
You don't even know what a mortgage is when you're younger.
Exactly.
What did you want to be, or what did you want to be, and how did you get into mortgage?
So it's probably not going to surprise you, but I wanted to be somewhere like in the nonprofit world. Mm. Even when I was in college at the University of Houston doing my undergrad, I even had this like big, hairy, audacious goal. And maybe I'll go back one day, you know, later to hopefully earn my master's. Mm-hmm. But they have this master's in this, your MBA. You can do like a joint MBA and a master's in social work.
Mm-hmm.
And that just spoke to my spirit. I was like, yes, I want to do it. So I wanted to do something in the nonprofit world. And then I started really realizing, I was like, wow, I really need to feed my family. So I want to help
That's
people.
Important.
Exactly. So I was like, I want to help people, but I need to make money. So
join the mortgage industry and you can do both.
Exactly. Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. I kind of just started like that as well too. I didn't even, you know, somebody told me you can get a job in mortgage. I was like, what's that? You know, I was young and, Not that I'm like old now. It was when my daughter was a baby. So if you know Bella and you see my Facebook, she's old. She's a teenager. But I they just said it. Hey, you know, they're hiring, you know, for a mortgage office assistant. And I was like, okay. I didn't even know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
I was like, they had Calyx Point, and I was like, what is
that? I remember that.
That looks so complicated. I'll never know. I'll never be able to figure that out. And then I just grew from there. I mean, I just learned as much as I could, you know, just read a lot. And then I was just really happy to help people out. My first closing, it felt wonderful to help somebody out.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so every closing, right, you walk away and you're like, this is why I do what I do.
Yeah.
I feel like that every time I go to my closing.
It's a long journey getting there, but when you finally get there, you're just like, wow, this
is worth awesome.
It does. I mean, and think about how awesome it feels for the client and the agent and the seller and everybody involved, right? And
hugs around, like all the hiccups we got, you know, are forgotten. Well,
yeah, it's
hopefully.
Yeah.
If there were any.
So I don't know if you know this, but this month is our millennial month on our podcast.
Yes.
Okay.
I heard your previous interview. I was like, oh my gosh, he has such great energy and he's funny.
Awesome.
And
Trey is great. He's a shaker and baker. He's gonna shake the world.
Yes, he is. Him and his feistiness. Yeah. You know, feistiness.
That's his brand, feisty.
Exactly.
Yeah. But okay, so we talked about before on the other shows. Name one myth, in fact, about being a millennial. So name one myth that people may say millennials are this way, but you would say, no, they're really not.
Yes. So not to repeat exactly what he said, but I want to repeat part of it. He mentioned that, you know, one of the myths out there, one of the biggest myths is that millennials are lazy. I feel like millennials invented the word hustle. Like hustle didn't come about until millennials were kind of, like, hustle wasn't around really in the 90s. Like, it wasn't like a term that we used to talk about working hard.
Yeah.
Millennials have multiple sources of income. It's not like you might think that a millennial is just constantly distracted by social media. Not really. It's millennials are distracted, you know, with their phones because if I'm walking up, you know, I'm going up the elevator and I'm on my phone, like closing a deal or doing, you know, something with my side job. And I mean, we all have a side hustle, right? We have to have multiple sources of income. And millennials are not lazy and we're not distracted. We're just busy working on other things, trying to find ways to make money. I was hearing, you know, your previous guest talk about talking about being a Lyft driver and being a real estate agent, having your signage. And I was like, oh my gosh.
And one supports the other.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. You're making money instead of spending money while you're driving around. He was like, I was, you know, able to look at the different neighborhoods and meet people. And I was like, that's freaking brilliant. Like, that is so smart.
That was really
right.
So, you know, I think that's one of the biggest myths, but we're going to bust that by kind of changing the narrative and saying, we're not lazy. We hustle and we're not lazy. We're not distracted. We're busy working on other things that are also productive, you know, not just our job, not just doing a job that is meaningful to us. Cause I was, when I was recruiting, I had to really learn a lot about the art of hiring people and understanding. And I read a lot about hiring millennials and how, you know, millennials, they want to work at a company where they feel like they're making a difference. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so right. Like, I would rather work at a company instead of going to an 8-to-5, don't stick me behind a desk working an 8-to-5, you know, job, just looking at a computer all day. I can't do that. Like that would drive me insane. I've got to be out there. I have to feel like I'm making a difference. I would rather take a pay cut because I feel like I'm doing something that I enjoy. I'm making a difference. I am, you know, improving Mother Earth if that's my passion. I'm helping people if that's my passion. So I think that's kind of what millennials are all about. It's making a difference, hustling, and, you know, just finding more ways to make a living.
Right. Not traditional. It's just different.
It is.
You know, so.
It's outside the box hustling.
There you go. Yeah. Outside the box.
Yeah.
So, hey. Outside the box lending, outside the box hustling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do we have a side hustle? I don't think so.
Our side hustle is top secret.
Oh, that's right. Is that our 15-year plan? Don't even talk about it.
No. We have some things we're working on, but in our spare time.
What's that?
we do other social work that we don't regularly post on Facebook or anything, just because I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be a humble brag, right?
Yeah.
We do things because we want to do that, you know? So that's our side hustle right now.
Just helping out. Lending
helping out when
hand.
We can. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I enjoy that.
Yeah, I enjoy it too. And we're busy, you know, with our kids and, you know, our business and our dog and our cat. And
you know, there really is no spare time, so
there,
to speak.
There really isn't too much. And if we do have spare time, I mean, we like to spend it with each other. So.
Yeah. Get on the couch with the kids. Watch a movie, bake some cookies.
Watch some Scandal. We're so hooked on Scandal. Have you seen
good.
Scandal?
Good.
I want to be like Olivia Pope.
I'm like a season
Pope.
Behind, but yeah. Oh my gosh.
I want to be Olivia Pope. And actually, we've incorporated her into our business plan too. We're like,
that should be your alter ego.
The fictional plan with Olivia Pope.
What is the guy's name? Huck.
We need to be our back office.
We need a Huck. We need the other chick with the red hair. We need this guy, that guy. That's who we need in our office, you know?
I mean, loans would be. You'd be done with the file in like 2 days.
Yeah,
like,
we need to get a picture of our borrowers and put it on the wall and put up all the things that could.
So here's what we got. We got a teacher and we got a systems administrator and we've got two W-2 incomes and the credit's not there. But Huck, get on it, get into the system and fix it in the matrix.
That is true. Yeah,
closed 5 days.
We need a Huck.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Okay, so you gave us some info about your family and background. So are you from the Houston area?
Born and raised. Oh, that's awesome. Love Houston. It's been, you know, it's been really interesting just seeing the city change and just see it develop.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, way back when I was in high school, you know, I grew up like by Hobby Airport, and that used to be like kind of far. Yes. And then so that was kind of right inside the Beltway. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's like not only do we have one loop, not only do we have two loops, but now we have the third loop, which is 99.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I live outside of 99. I'm like, man, I live like in South Dallas, guys. You
know? Right.
It's just crazy how much Houston has grown. But yeah, there's a statistic, and I'm going to challenge us to find out the answer.
Mm-hmm.
There's 1,000 new people moving to Texas every day.
Oh, wow.
Really?
So I wonder, of the 1,000, how many are millennials? We need to find that question.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, my new next door neighbor is from Alabama. I'm like, you moved all the way down here, you know? It's crazy.
There's a lot of opportunity in Houston and in Texas.
Yes.
Yeah. We need to become our own country, by the way.
Yes, we do.
Well, you know, there's some that will say that the Great Republic of Texas never actually joined the Union. It's a whole thing. You should.
You're like, don't get that started.
Right. You should look that up. That is a thing. The Republic of Texas is recognized as a country in other countries. So check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Where do I see myself? Gosh. Oh, bigger house. My home has, we've outgrown it. I'm just kidding. You know, I hope and I plan to still be in the industry. You know, we're like the current generation, but we're also the next generation of loan officers.
Mm-hmm.
And I still hope to be in the industry and, you know, helping people in some form or fashion. Someone asked me one time, they're like, Veronica, if you won the lottery and didn't have to work the rest of your life, like, what would you do for a living?
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say I would be doing this. Like, it just, you have to love this in order to be in the industry.
You have to really love it. It's like being married. You have to really love being married to your spouse.
Sometimes you don't love them, but you love them.
I really do, though.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah, you have to really love being a mortgage on a more serious note, and we really do.
Yeah.
And that's why we invite people that's, you know, share the same passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, another kind of big, hairy, audacious goal that I have is I recently joined, actually, I helped launch a new club of Toastmasters.
I heard about that. You told me that. Yeah.
Gosh, you'll have to join. But Toastmasters is all about just being the best communicator possible. Mm-hmm. Just public speaking. Public speaking honestly still terrifies me. I get to fly to Tennessee in a couple of weeks to speak at a chapter. It's a NAREP, you know, chapter launch. They're launching a chapter in Knoxville, and I was invited to speak as like the guest speaker. I'm like,
what? You're like, what did you say?
Yes. So Toastmasters. So I actually want to, you know, some of the best leaders are actually Toastmaster distinguished members, what they call them. And they've just been, you know, part of Toastmasters and gone through like different pathways of learning and being better speakers. So I hope to compete. And I recently met the 2018 Toastmasters International Champion. I would love to go all the way to that level. So that's kind of like my 10-year goal as well.
I mean, that can be terrifying for some people. I mean, speaking in public.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I still get nervous, even though I'm really good at speaking in public. But when I was in college or when I was younger, I was like, there's just no way I'm ever going to be able to like talk. But, you know, when you're in college, they have you present your, you know,
papers, read a paper.
Yeah. Right, and you kind of get out of that. Yeah. And then for me, I was a young mom and, you know, single mom. And I was like, I just got to do it. Who cares? My kids have to eat. I've got to provide shelter for them.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it. I don't care. I mean, I've had worse things happen to me. I'm just going to stand up and talk and, you know, either people buy it or they don't. That's the way I approach it. Even before I speak, I kind of get like the, you know, the flutters in my stomach or my heart, whatever. And I'm like, okay, all right, just do it.
Well, public speaking is the greatest fear of people, like even worse than flying or falling or whatever, heights.
Oh, yeah.
Public speaking's it. It's number one.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Well, we'll definitely be keeping you in our prayers.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's a big task.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Something else to try to conquer.
You'll rock it. I think you're going to do great. So I have no doubt about that.
I appreciate it. I receive
it. Yeah. So the final question.
Yeah.
How are millennials changing the world?
You know, I really reflected on that question. Mm-hmm. And I feel that millennials are changing the world by making it more socially acceptable to be ourselves. And I feel like the millennial generation, I was looking back, like, what was life like in the 80s? What was life like in the 90s? And I'm so grateful that when we were in high school that we didn't have, you know, social media. Social media was not a big thing. We didn't have the world at our fingertips through a smartphone. But now kids do. And I love that there's this awareness of you don't have to have the filter to have a beautiful picture. And there's actually companies like spending a lot of money saying, you know, we're not going to edit this picture. We're not like send us a hashtag no filter, whatever. But I feel like millennials are teaching society it's okay to be ourselves. Just like you were telling your previous guest, you know, you know what? If you want to go color your hair, like color your hair, like don't be afraid to be you. And I think that's what millennials are teaching America and just society in general is it's okay to be us. It's okay to be, you know, to hustle. It's okay to have, you know, darker color skin. It's okay to have purple hair if you want, tattoos. Like you were talking about the real estate agent in, I think, New Mexico.
Yes.
Oh, like covered in tattoos.
He's killing it. I mean, you know,
he's himself. And I think that's what the world craves is this authenticity. And we have to be careful not to use that word too much because it feels kind of like it's overly used sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what people want is they just want the real us. Like don't, you see social media and you see people's lives and you're like, oh my gosh, I just, you know, I have to catch myself and get myself off of social media because then I start comparing myself. I'm like, wait a minute.
It's hard.
It's okay to be me. It's okay to be in this season of life. It's okay to, you know, and I think that's what millennials are teaching the world is be you and be okay with it.
And that's why our slogan here is real talk for real people in real estate.
Love it.
You know, there's another podcast out there that shares the same name. And they do things a little bit differently than us. And I just say, you know, for us, it's not about let me bring in the CEO. Let me bring in this person. I want real people that are
boots on the ground,
that are doing the work, that are the fry cooks in the kitchen when it comes to doing mortgage lending or real estate. I want the real nitty gritty people here in the studio to talk about how they're changing the mortgage and real estate industry, how they're helping people out. Mm-hmm. We want those types of people on our show. It helps. It's going to help out the masses out there. It's going to help the millennials get off the couch and say, you know what? I can buy a house.
Yep.
I heard Angela and Ivan's podcast and they said, hey, you know, why rent when you can buy right now? Mm-hmm. There's low down payment options. There's reduced mortgage insurance. There's down payment assistance. There's renovation loans. There's VA loans, USDA. There's so many different types of loans to get millennials into homes.
Yeah, you fit in somewhere. Give it a try. Yep. Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. Call one of us. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Veronica, how can they get in touch with you? Can you share your phone number, your website, whatever? Yes,
absolutely. Okay. I'm all on social media. Veronica Martinez, phone number 713-263-4165. I'm growing my Instagram platform. It's Home Loans by Veronica.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Very good.
And with that note, we're now clear to close. This episode is now clear to close. And until next time,
keep on thriving with Angela and Ivan.